around, you can hang out, you can be really close. But until you're in Christ, it doesn't count. Until you're in Christ, it's just religion.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. Happy to be your host today. I'm here with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, today's message is part two in a series called Joy is a Choice, part two of a message called Wrong Thinking Can Kill Your Joy. And you're talking to us about the power source of our joy and how it's connected to Christ. But there's people who really don't have that, and they're very religious.
Yeah, you know, Joshua, I minister to people, well, you and I do, all over Chicagoland, that are religious, that practice some form of religion, that go to church on Sunday, that have some sort of ritual prayer that they pray at nighttime, but they lack a sense of real peace and joy in their life. And here's what I want to tell you if you're listening to me today, is that religion is never a substitute for relationship with the living God. The Apostle Paul says, I was extremely religious. I threw myself into my religion. He was one of the most consecrated people out of the Pharisees, yet it was nothing. It was empty rituals because he had no relationship with the living God. Ultimately, it's about relationship and not about rituals or religion that you may be practicing.
Yeah, it's an amazing thought. He wasn't just religious. He was devout. And why was that not enough? Pastor Mark, I mean, because there are people, they may be listening right now. They say, now, I'm very devout. I'm not like my neighbor. I'm not like my uncle. I am very religious. But why is that not enough?
It's not enough because religion simply leads to mechanical rituals and repetition that cause us to depend on that religion. Relationship is about knowing God. And Paul says, I would throw it all away. It's all to me garbage so that I could know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And so today I want to ask you this question, not are you religious, not do you go to church, but I want to ask you this, do you know God through his son, Jesus Christ? Do you have a strong relationship? And if not, today is the day maybe through this message that you need to reconsider, do I really know God?
That's so good, Pastor Mark. Thank you. This is Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Wrong thinking can kill your joy, part 2.
There were a lot of Jewish people that were raised and had lost their culture and their language. But he says, I never lost my language, the Hebrew language. In fact, my parents raised me to speak Hebrew. And more than likely, Paul spoke both Hebrew and Aramaic. He was raised in a traditional home that taught him the culture of his ancestors. Sometimes Greek people, they go to Greek school. Why? Because they learn the culture and the language. And Paul was saying, hey, I'm a real Hebrew. I even know the language. My parents raised me in a way where they taught me the culture and the traditions of my ancestors. And he says, in fact, in regard to the law, what law is he talking about? What's the law? The Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's the law. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. How many of you have heard of Pharisees before? Normally, it's come to be a derogatory term to us, but in those days, the Pharisees was a strict religious order where they were diehard about studying the law. I mean, they were very, very strict about observing the Sabbath and what they could eat, and they fasted, and they prayed, and they did these religious ceremonies. They were one of the most strict religious orders. In fact, Paul was mentored and raised under one of the highest ranking Pharisees, a fellow by the name of Gamaliel. He says, hey, I have a lot to boast about. In fact, not only that, as for zeal, I wasn't just one of these guys that was going through the motions. I mean, I was zealous. I was on fire. He says, I was so on fire in this tradition that I actually persecuted the church. Do you remember Stephen, who's the first martyr of the church? You remember how he was killed? He was stoned. Do you remember who authorized the stoning of Stephen? a young fellow by the name of Saul, who later became Paul. He said, I was so zealous, I was killing Christians. I was zealous for what I believed in. As for legalistic righteousness, I mean, as for being right before God in a legalistic way, hey, I was blameless. You know what Paul is doing? I had one with me before. Paul was giving his resume. He was saying, hey, this is my resume. Oh, I mean, what is a resume? What do we put on a resume? We try to impress people, right? Hey, we want to get that job. And you know, hey, you went one semester to Daly. You say, well, it's excellent student at Daly College. You visited Northwestern before and spent a time at Northwestern. You try to use all the big words, all the accolades, because you want to impress people. Paul is saying, hey, this is my religious resume. Man, if anybody could impress people, I could impress people. And you know what he says about it? He says, but you know what? Look, I want you to notice what he says. This is huge. Listen, verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, that's an economic word used for gain. Whatever was for my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. You know what he's saying? This was my resume. And you know what I'm doing with my resume before God? All the things, all my good works and all my effort, this is what I think of it. For those of you listening on tape, I'm ripping up a resume. He says, you know what? In light of gaining Christ, this is garbage. It's nothing. In fact, not only is it nothing, it's a minus. Look what he says. It's not gain to me. Whatever is profit for me, I now consider loss. Why loss? For the sake of Christ. In other words, hey, I've given up all that religious stuff so that I could gain relationship with the living God. In fact, all that stuff was not leading me to God. It was leading me away from God. All that ritual. You see, some of you were brought up in religious traditions where you were told, well, you know, if you eat this and don't eat that, and if you say this many prayers, and if you go once a week, and if you do this, and if you don't do that, and if you give this much, and if you that, then you'll be right before God. And some of us spend all our life trying to be good. And Paul says all that trying to be good is nothing. Because that's not how you get right with God, by being good. You get right with God through Jesus. Goodness is a byproduct of getting right. It's not the way to get to God. It's what happens when you come to God. Someone better get that this morning. He says, I consider it all loss. Why? For the sake of Christ. Which leads me to my third point we find here in the text. The third point, and I'm talking about religious thinking that takes away your joy. Know the difference between fake righteousness and real righteousness. Notice what he says in verse 8. He said, what is more? Hey, and you want to hear something else? I'm not done yet, he's saying. You want to hear something else? I consider not only my good works, but everything I did in the past to try to get to God, I consider everything a loss. Compared to what? Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now I want you to hear what he's saying here, because this is huge. In the Greek, by the way, you say, well, Pastor, why do you keep going to the Greek? Well, the Greek is what the New Testament was written in. A lot of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament, the original Bible, was written in the Greek language. And so sometimes there's certain meanings that you go to the Greek to really get the sort of the gist out of what it's meaning. But in the Greek, there are two words for knowledge. One word for knowledge has to do with intellectual knowledge. And the other word for knowledge has to do with experiential, like I know. For example, someone could say, I know about the president. And someone else could say, but I know the president. The difference is one person knows in his head, the other person knows by experience, right? Someone will say, well, I know about Christianity, but the other person says, no, I know Christianity because they've experienced it. Paul says, listen to what Paul says. He says, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing. He's not talking about intellectual knowledge. He says, man, I know Jesus. I mean, not I've heard about him, not I've read books about him, not someone told me in a Sunday school class about him, but man, I know him. We've talked together. We've fellowshiped together. I mean, we've been around each other. I've experienced and I know him. Some of you say, well, you know, Pastor, I know about him, but I don't think I know him. Well, there's a big difference. A huge difference. And Paul says, you know what? The surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, there's nothing like it. I know Jesus, and he's my Lord. And guess what? For whose sake I have lost all things. Paul says, you know, I've given up everything for him. He said, well, he must be sad if he had to give up everything. No, it's exactly the opposite. Have you run into people that say, well, you know, I became a Christian, and then my husband left me, and you know, I lost my job because I was really testifying for Jesus, and I lost all my friends because no one wants to be around a Bible thumper, and man, I am so sad. And you're like, I want to feel bad for them. Paul says, you know what, I lost everything. But he's got this big smile on his face. He says, you want to know what? I could care less. He says, you know what I think about all those things that I lost? Tell us, Paul. Look what he says. I consider them rubbish. Now, rubbish is sort of like a dainty word, isn't it? I mean, how many of you say rubbish? Isn't that what English people use? Oh, rubbish. This is sort of a dainty word to say manure, dung, refuge. And there's a lot of other crasser words I could use that I'm not going to hear in the pulpit, but it means that. I mean, I consider all this refuge a manure pile. What you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about all that stuff that I had before and considered gain. It's nothing to me now. In fact, I don't even want it. It's like a manure pile. I say, get it away from me. Because you know what? To gain Christ, all of that means nothing at all to me. Because Christ is in a category unto himself. And I don't even feel the loss. I don't even want it anymore. Because I have something that no one can buy.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called Wrong Thinking Can Kill Your Joy, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark is the senior pastor. At the end of today's program, I'll tell you more about New Life, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this Straight Talk message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. His message: wrong thinking can kill your joy.
Man, does that get you excited? It does me. You know what he says? Look in verse 9. He says, and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Now let me pause for a second on this word, to be found in him. I want to illustrate here with this baptistry for a second. Cisco, you got baptized, right? Both of you guys got baptized. Could you help me take this lid off? Now that you got baptized, you got to start serving. Amen? I'll start serving a little bit. It says here, and to be found in him. In whom? Who's it talking about? Say it together. Christ. How many of you know that some people are not in him, they're just around him? Let's say this baptismal tank symbolizes Christ. How many of you know people that are like around Christ? They say, you know, Jesus, you know, I like Jesus. I mean, I hang around with Christians, I go to church, and Jesus is okay with me. And some people, you know, they support Christ. Hey, we're into Christian causes. I give to charity once in a while. I'm into missions. And some people, you know what? They go through a hard time and they say, this would be bad if I fell. They say, you know, I stand on Christ. My kid was sick. I lost my job. You know, he's a real support to me. He's a real help to me. But let me tell you, and I'd get in there, but it's all wet in there. But not until you're in is it the real thing. You can be under, you can be around, you can hang out, you can be really close. But until you're in Christ, it doesn't count. Until you're in Christ, it's just religion. Paul says, I want to be found in Christ. Now, how do you get in Christ? He said, let me tell you how you don't get in Christ. You don't get in Christ by a righteousness that comes from the law. What do you mean the law? The law is all about do this, don't do that, don't commit adultery, don't murder, and do this, and don't do that. It's all the Old Testament. Well, how many of you know that Jesus came because the Old Testament could not bring righteousness to us? And Jesus came because no one could be good enough for God. All our self-effort was vain and useless. And Jesus came because no one could be made right by following the commandments. And he came because we were all messing up royally. The Bible says that Jesus came. So how do we get our righteousness now if it doesn't come through the law? Well, you get the righteousness through faith. But that which is through faith in what? In Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Let me just explain it this way. Say that your father-in-law decided, because you married his daughter, to give you an $800,000 home. You say, come on, Pastor, be realistic. All right, we're just imagining it. All my father-in-law's giving me is a McDonald's certificate and that, and then he complained that I didn't use it on time. Okay, well, this is pretend, okay? Say your father-in-law decided to give you an $800,000 home because you married his daughter. But when he gave it to you, you said, well, I can't accept that. Remember, this is pretend. I can't accept that. I'm too proud to accept it. I won't accept that gift. I'm going to pay for it. And you sat down and you do your budget with your wife and you find out, hey, you go back to your father-in-law and say, you know what we're going to pay for? We're going to give you $100 a month to pay for this. And you do the math and it comes out that you'll pay it off in about 120 years. Well, let me tell you, the moment that you start paying for it is the moment that you incur the entire debt with interest. You see, before you started paying for it, it was a gift. You owed nothing on it. But the moment you try to pay for it, now it suddenly goes from being a gift to being a huge debt that you can't pay. You see, righteousness is that way. When you accept the gift of righteousness by faith, it's all yours. Salvation and glory and forgiveness and walking with God, it's all yours. But the moment you say, well, I'm going to try to buy it through my tithes and offerings, through praying a prayer of repentance, through my good works, then suddenly that which was free to you now becomes this huge debt that you can never pay. You understand what I'm saying? You see, some of you are trying to do good works to earn your way to God, and you've just incurred this huge debt that you can never pay. Well, God says, you want to be right with me? And here's how you receive it. It's a gift. You say, Pastor, that seems too easy. Oh, no, it's not easy and it's not cheap. Because Jesus paid a huge price on the cross of Calvary. But it means in order to receive that gift that you have to believe that Jesus died, that he rose again, that you have to believe enough to be willing to give your life to him so that you can receive his righteousness. And it comes through faith, and it comes by God through Jesus. It's faith. It's believing. It's what you do when you're born again. You bow and you repent and you believe, and then God comes in and starts working in you. You see, some of you are out there saying, I'm still trying to make it, Pastor. How you doing? Oh, I'm trying to stop swearing, Pastor. I'm trying. Hopefully I'll be right with God. No, you've incurred a huge debt. You don't stop swearing to be right with God. You stop swearing because you are right with God. See the difference? Huge. Yeah, I'm going to pay taxes so I can become a citizen of the United States. No. When you become a citizen, then you do the things of a citizen. You don't do these things to try to get it. You do the things because you are. Last point. Of course, I'm like Paul, finally. He said finally had two more chapters, so I figured Paul did it, I could do it. No, really, last point. Number four. Understand the essential difference between relationship and religion. Notice what Paul says in verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. And I don't think he's just saying, well, I want to know Christ. I think he's saying, I want to know Christ. I hear a passion in his voice. I hear a longing in his heart. I hear a zeal inside of him. I want to know Jesus. Not just know about him. I want to know him. Well, what do you want to know about him, Paul? Well, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Well, how do you know that? Because when God's power is in me, he's changing me. You see, when I get Christ inside of me, his power, the power of the resurrection, the power that raised the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that lives inside of you. You say, well, Pastor, man, I can't quit smoking these Marlboros. I mean, they really got a hold on me. Listen. You got the power that raised, you don't think the power that raised Jesus from the dead can handle your little box of Marlboros? I mean, what kind of power do you think we're talking about? We're not talking about battery powers. We're talking about resurrection power. We're talking about the power that raises people from the dead. We're talking about the power that overcomes sin and death. We're talking about the power that created the universe. Resurrection power. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Man, we're raw and I'm on that. But I don't know if we're going to get cheers about this next one. And the fellowship, the koinonia. That means partnership. Of sharing in his suffering. And I don't just want to know his power. I want to know his pain. He said, well, I just want to know his power, not his pain. Well, you don't want to know all Jesus then, because Jesus had power and he had pain. Jesus was rejected. He suffered. He was humiliated. And do you think that if you really live for God, that you're never going to go through any of that? You really think that everybody's going to like you all the time? That you're going to be number one on the popularity list? You see, Jesus suffered pain and rejection and hurt. And Paul says, I want to know all of Jesus. I want to know his power, but I want to know his pain too. I want to be right in there with Jesus. Experience what he experienced. Live for him all the way as he lives in me. I want to know him.
This was Pastor Mark Jobe with the second half of his message called Wrong Thinking Can Kill Your Joy. It's from his series called Joy is a Choice, Learn to Laugh Again. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.